I am in a sort of mechanical complex, one of those little industrial complexes in Corpus Christi, Texas. And I'm here because of serendipitous mechanical developments. How to handle a mechanical on the road. A little bit more about the zen of travel and other developments in Bob Davis Podcast 1131, the Bob Davis Podcasts. I have some people to thank who have donated to the Bob Davis Podcast recently, and I want to let people know that you can donate to the Bob Davis Podcast. It helps keep me on the road doing what I do. And you can do that at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just look down to the bottom of the page if you're on a phone, and you'll see a picture of Mobile Podcast Command and a yellow oval that says donate underneath that. Click on that, and then that takes you to PayPal, and you can do whatever you want to do. So I got to thank Katie Davis and Judy Murphy. I got to thank Travis Sittard. Jeffrey Dunn, thank you. Jason Feipel, thank you. Brandon Sabata, thanks a ton. And Tony Rutherford. These last two were a little a while ago because I haven't thanked people for quite a while. And of course, appreciate it if you want to help the Bob Davis Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Also, they're available at Spotify. Although, I had a recent audio issue with podcast, I don't know what it was, 1130. And, you know, I was able to fix that and repost. And when I do that from my site, it reloads most of the other podcast syndicators. But Spotify just takes the file and puts it up once. So if you're listening to podcast 1130 on Spotify, you're not hearing it. A little bit of an audio problem that has never happened and probably will never happen again. Don't need to get into detail, but if you're listening on Spotify, you won't be able to hear podcast 1130. You'll have to go to Google Podcasts or bobdavispodcast.com. And thanks for listening to the podcast off the page at bobdavispodcast.com. And I also have a streamer on there, and I could go on and on. But finally, I do have a YouTube channel, and I put up shorts and full-length videos, and I appreciate the subscriptions and the viewing as well on YouTube. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I've often talked about how you have to roll with the punches while you're on the road, because if you get to the point where you think things are going to go the way you think things are going to go, you're going to be very disappointed. And there's a life lesson there, and that is I guess I will just say that we are inundated with nonsense that it comes often in the form of memes. It comes often in the form of ersatz, therapeutic language, and other bromides, for lack of a better term, that can get into your head like earbugs and cause you to think things are a certain way. And very seldom do people make an effort, and I would also include myself in this, but not so much now that I've been traveling, to get past emotion, to gain perspective, and to sort of begin to figure out what to do in a crisis. And crises will happen if you're traveling. I don't care if you're traveling around the world on airplanes, moving through airports and train stations, or in a van, or in a $400,000 RV, or on a boat someplace, and you're sailing, you're going to have problems, and you're going to end up having to address problems. And how you address them determines how things are going to go. So my story, this podcast, is this vehicle has two alternators, because it has two systems. It has a system to deliver power through the batteries to the back, where when it was an ambulance, all of the instruments lived. And the idea was, we don't ever turn the instruments off. They don't have to be recalibrated. We are constantly hot in the back. And if you were in the fire station, then you were hooked up to shore power. And the inverter that was in this vehicle when it was new was also a converter, so the vehicle was never off. The material in the back, the equipment and stuff in the back was never off. All that stuff was kept hot, always. The boat, the system, the truck, whatever you want to call it, has two systems. It has an alternator for the engine, and then there are two house batteries which have another alternator. That alternator is on the bottom of the engine. The other one is on the top of the engine, where you would find the alternator for any car or truck. On the dashboard, there is a voltmeter, and you can see how many volts the system is producing. It should be 14.5, generally speaking. So the last time I lost an alternator, I was in Iowa, and I did not understand what was happening because I was an idiot. And I was driving along, and the battery light was on, but the truck kept moving. And the reason is it has three big lead-acid batteries, so it was running off the batteries because the alternator had failed. And I remember I called my friend Mark Korn in Minnesota, who he's an engineer, and I called him and I said, why is this thing running and why is the voltmeter going down? He said, where's the voltmeter right now? And I said, well, it's roughly 12, maybe a little bit below 12. And he said, well, it's not going to run much longer. And I go, you're crazy. And he goes, no, really. So while I was talking to him, it started shutting down. It's so weird because it will start triaging. And first it shut down the lights on the dash. Then it shut down the lights, which it was getting toward evening. And then finally, within about 5 minutes, it dropped below 11 volts and the truck stopped running. And I was pulled over on the side of the road. I think it was Highway 212 in Iowa, I guess it was northwestern Iowa, north central Iowa, kind of way northwest of Ames. And I really had no choice but to call a tow truck, and it was really upsetting. And that's the first time that I ever had a mechanical that really put me in a bad situation. Like, I really didn't know what to do. And I remember sitting out in the field thinking to myself, why did this happen here? That was the way I handled it. Why did this happen here? What is this all about? What is the meaning of life? And I ended up having a really great experience because this guy came out. I expected to get a tow. He came out and brought the wrong truck. He was like, I didn't realize your truck was this big, and I have a heavy towing semi, you know, tractor powered tow vehicle, but I didn't bring it. And so he said, you got a bad alternator. And I remember I said to him, if you just charge up the battery, I can go. And he goes, no, you're gonna go about a mile. And I said, well, okay. So we started, he charged it up, and he goes, but okay, go. So we charged it up, and I got it off to on an exit, and then it stopped running. And I thought that was pretty funny, because, you know, I think I know things, but I don't know anything, right? And we got it pulled over off the side of the road, and he said, well, what do you want to do? You want to come with us, or do you want to stay with the truck? And I said, well, I'm staying with the truck. And he said, good man. So he said, I will be back tomorrow at about 9 a.m., and I'll bring an alternator, and we'll put it in, and you'll be on your way. And that is what happened. And it turned into be really a great experience for me. I got to meet a great guy. He brought a master mechanic with him, and they were able to, they got the serpentine belt on the first try, which is pretty amazing. And they got it done in about 45 minutes. And, you know, it cost me a lot of money. I didn't have to pay for a full tow. The other time that I did something stupid that I've often talked about was filling the 50-gallon diesel tank with gasoline. That was also an expensive and foolish, it taught me that you really have to pay attention to what you're doing. You can't just run around with your head in the clouds thinking about other things and not pay attention to what you're doing. So ever since then, I still go through the same routine when I'm putting fuel in the tank. It's diesel, to make sure that I'm on the right pump before I start pumping, because you do not want to do what I did if you have a diesel vehicle. Anyway, so when this happened, I'm on my way to Padre Island. And I'd been driving. I spent the night about 45 minutes from Corpus Christi, and I was just getting on to, I think it's 386. No, it's 586. Maybe, I don't know. It's the little freeway that goes out to Padre Island. And I was driving along, and I hadn't gotten to the bridge yet. And I looked down, and I saw this thing at 12 and a half. And it's supposed to be at 14.4, and it has been at 14.4 for years, ever since that alternator was replaced. And I realized immediately what was happening, pulled over. And, you know, you go through this reaction where you have an increased heartbeat, you get really nervous, and you have to go ahead and feel that, express it, and recognize it. And then you get out the Google and you find a place to go. And what I did was I found a place to go, which was about 0.7 miles away. And the truck managed to make it there. And these guys were at, I'll tell you the name of the place, because I want to recognize these guys because they really have been great. And I'll tell you that story as well here in a second. But I have to look it up and be careful that I get it right. But after this guy, Steve from AutoWorks, looked at the vehicle, he said, I've got three other vehicles here. I can't do it today. And it's going to take time to get the parts. I'm gonna give you over to Zach, who has a shop down the way. So Zach came over, and we've had a great... I've actually had a great time sitting here, staying in the vehicle and waiting for parts to get here. We got one alternator, and now we're waiting for the other alternator. I'm not going to put the second alternator on. That's the one underneath. But to make a long story short, part of the analysis, once we got into it, was that bottom alternator really isn't doing much. And so it's putting a lot of pressure on the top alternator. He only has time to put in the top one. The thing will be fine with the top one. But then I will get the second one put on, which I have in the truck now, here in a few days somewhere, you know, whether it's Galveston or someplace like that. I find a place I can get it done, and I'll have that done as well. So we will have two new alternators. And I'll talk about the experience. Really, it's about, I'm not quite sure what I would say. I wouldn't say it's about letting go, although there's letting go involved. But it's also, you know, kind of just processing through, because bad things are going to happen when you're traveling, no matter what your travel mode is, your nomad mode, whatever that is, you're going to have problems. We'll talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Well, it is March in the upper reaches of this country, Minnesota, and my friends at Garden Guru MN have been sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast for quite some time. They are working with people to do whatever needs to be done with their gardens. You know, gardening is very big. It's whether it's just shrubbery around the house or it's actually a garden that people are growing produce in. And some people are starting to do that because food is very expensive these days. And it can be very fulfilling to have that kind of a garden. Or maybe you're just a flower freak or whatever it is that you do. My dad was really into gardening. He was really, especially into the yard work. And he planted shrubs and he did a lot of stuff like that. It was a very great thing for him to do for, you know, just to kind of ease the pressure. And he loved doing it. Some people love the process of picking the seeds and figuring out what they're going to plant and the whole deal, and they need help getting it done. Whatever it is that you need with your garden, whether it's just basically prepping your house for sale, fixing your mother's house up, or doing something different in your yard, GardenGurusMN.com. Click on them, go to GardenGurusMN.com. And get signed up now, because this is the time where they can offer you the deals as they really do planning for the coming season. March, of course, is kind of snowy. I'm willing to bet, and I hate to say this, that while there has been a warm winter, we're going to pay for it, as we always say up north in April and later in March. And last year, this was certainly the case when I was up there and it was April 11th and there was 14 inches of snow on the ground. So snow will come, but it will go. And at some point, you will have a mess out there and you'll have some situations where you got to get it cleaned up and so forth. And Garden Guru MN can help you do all that. So once I got ensconced here at Complete Auto Works, and really it's not Complete Auto Works, it's Zach, but they're all in a, sort of a group here, and there's a couple of different, there's a place that cuts marble over here, and then there's another guy that works on classic cars, and then there's Zach, and then there's the people down at Auto Works, and the guy's father, Steve, Steve's father from Auto Works owns this whole thing. So, as I said, the big issue is people often get very angry when things happen, because it takes them off their plan. I was going to go to Mustang Island and camp in the primitive camping area. I'm on a schedule a little bit. I've given myself plenty of time to travel so I can meander, especially through the Redneck Riviera. I'm still 1,200 miles from my objective, which is Sarasota, Florida. And it is, you know, early March now, and we're getting close, and I have to be there on the 14th or 15th of March. So, you know, we're getting into a situation where time can be addressed. And my plan was, everything was going swimmingly. I haven't had any problems at all. And my plan was I was going to camp out at Mustang Island State Park, which is a Texas state park, right on the water there at Padre Island. I've got my solar. I wouldn't need to be hooked up to power, blah, 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 blah. So I was pretty excited about that. And the obvious implication is that, oh, I've got a problem. Things are going to hell in a handbasket. What am I going to do? This thing is so old, blah, 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 blah. The whole thought process. And it happens in a flash. You have this negative reaction in a flash. And I know a lot of people. I have been in this position in travel where it, all of a sudden your wonderful day goes to crap and you're angry and frustrated and mad at the world because you're having a bad time. And then you show up at some place and you start yelling at people. Well, why can't you? And I've seen it, and I know they've seen it too, where people will just show up and make it your problem because they have a problem on the road because they didn't check the tires or whatever. Now, an alternator can go at any time, so you really don't really, you kind of have a little bit of a warning. And the warning is, with this vehicle, you know, I've got that voltmeter. When it starts, It usually, when everything is healthy, it'll go right up to 14.5. What I've noticed is that I would start it and it would sit and hover around 12.5, and it would take longer and longer for it to pop up to 14.5 for that first alternator to kick in. So that's kind of a warning. But a lot of times people ignore the warning signs, or we don't know what's wrong anyway. It just might be running rough or something like that, and then you have a major problem. And if you listen to the Grand Canyon, Trapped in the Grand Canyon, Stranded in the Grand Canyon podcast, it can be extremely frustrating. And you feel like you're obviously depending on mechanics and people, and you're depending on goodwill. But you also have to participate. You have to do something to help. And it can be difficult. And this is where people turn what could be a beautiful experience into a disaster, because they rush over to a hotel and they get a hotel room. They don't, whatever. So yesterday, there was this process of troubleshooting. Then there was ordering the parts. And for a vehicle that's 25 years old or 24 years old, it takes a while to find the right parts and get solutions. And I participate as much as I can. And I always apologize for my level of participation, because it's a unique vehicle and I do know the vehicle. But I am not a mechanic, and to me, a lot of, especially electrical stuff, is a mystery. But I did what I could do to help out, you know. At one point, Zach comes over and says, "Hey, I'm going to the junkyard. Do you want to go with me?" And I was like, because he had to pick something up for his friend, and I was like, "Yeah, let's go." So we went to the junkyard, and I had a great day yesterday, going through the junkyard to look for a hood for a Ram pickup. And we found one hood, and then we found another hood, took it off and carried it in, bought it for like $100, and then came out and he goes, "Let's just put this on now." So we put the hood on, and it was just fun to participate. I don't do that kind of stuff. So it was really fun to watch the process and go through the whole thing and see what this guy does for his work on a day-to-day basis, and to see these guys, you know, in the process of what they do, which is some pretty hard physical work day in and day out. I don't know how they do it. So I turned a crappy day, a day that could have been really a disaster, into just a great day. And then last night, they all went off to something at their kid's school, and I pulled out the frying pan and got the caterer stove out and made myself, I guess I would have called it fajitas, and some stew meat, and made fajitas, and had a great dinner, and made a huge pot of coffee, and drank that. And then, he goes, "You want to take a shower?" So he has this shower he's got a portable water heater on the shower that you plug in, and it's basically, it looks like a typical, a garage, but it's basically a bathroom, and you stand there and you take a shower, wonderfully luxurious shower in the bathroom. And he goes, "You just take the broom and sweep out the water when you're done, and it keeps the floor clean, And I did that, and I just have had a really great time sitting here waiting, and hopefully today we'll be able to get this thing in and I can get on my way. But it could have been terrible. And I think the key thing to remember is if you're going to have a problem, and we will have problems, not just in traveling, but in life in general, there is an emotional reaction. And the emotional reaction is going to lead you down a path that you don't want to go, because you're going to be panicked, you're going to be mad, you're going to be all those things. But you're better off if you think, what do I do first? How do I handle this, truly an emergency? Well, I have to figure out where I can get this fixed right now because I don't have time, if you know the nature of the emergency. If you have a little bit more time, well, then maybe you can do something about it. And you're not put in a situation where it's going to cost you more because you're going to get towed. I could have ended up on the side of the road on Padre Island if I'd ignored it and just spent 10 minutes being mad. I would have just kept going, and I would have ended up on Padre Island with nothing, because this thing would have stopped running after about 15, 20 minutes. So I would have been on Padre Island, and that would have been it, in a national park or whatever it is, the national seashore, and somebody would have had to come over and tow me back to some other place, and it would have been the same thing. So because I let that emotion pass and then went through the process of figuring out, okay, what do I have to do right now? This is something I have to take care of right now. Where can I go? And I got lucky because I didn't have to go that far. And I got lucky because I found a great bunch of guys who were willing to say, I can't do this right now, but I have somebody that can. And yes, it's going to cost me some money. That's the other thing. This stuff is going to happen, and it's going to cost you money. And you have to accept that things are going to happen, and it's going to cost you money. The thought process as I go through now, in terms of getting perspective on it, is, well, here we are. Now, this is the second time around for replacing alternators. The bottom alternator was replaced, in 2015. The top alternator is replaced in, 2016 or 17, I think, because I was in Iowa covering campaigns. Maybe it was 2020, I don't remember. And I've done other things with the vehicle. I had to put a new sway bar in, new shocks, new tires three or four different times, inverters, things of that nature. How many times do I want to go through the whole process with this vehicle? And what am I looking for in a future vehicle that I'm not going to know about, that I'm going to have to go through a learning process on? And how do I improve that learning process so I know ahead of time what happens if ... So those are the kind of thoughts that go through my mind. But those are constructive thoughts, because that's really about, well, what do I want to do? Do I want to keep doing this the way I'm doing it? Do I want an RV? I just, for people that are nomads and RV people, I reject the RV, because this is what I do is way more heavy duty than this was the conclusions that we all came to in Quartzsight over the years. The problem with RVs is there's so many systems that need to be maintained that when you are putting a vehicle like that, I mean, I've literally traveled 6 or 7, maybe I probably traveled 10,000 miles already this year, back and forth to Wisconsin, you know, all the way down to Quartzsite, now, you know, 2,500 miles over to Sarasota. Then I'm going up through Virginia, then meandering back over into Wisconsin again. And it's probably going to be 10,000 plus miles when it's all over with, on different kinds of roads. The biggest problem right now are these all-terrain tires, which vibrate a little bit. I got to get these off at some point. You know, it's a constant maintenance issue if you want to keep going. So I worry about RVs, because most of the people I know that have RVs, as I have often said, they go back to their house in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or wherever, and then they go down to Florida or down to Arizona for the winter. And so it's a long trip, but the vehicle is on freeways, it's smooth roads, it's here to there. Or maybe they go over to California and stay at their daughter's house or something like that. This thing is both on dirt gravel roads in the West. It is climbing mountains, it is coming down mountains. It is in national forests. It is in, you know, the woods in Wisconsin, through mud and gravel and all kinds of other things. There's a lot of vibration. So when you have a lot of systems, well, that's the stuff that breaks systems down, is just the heavy vibration and constant travel that you have to maintain it. The fewer systems that you have, the fewer chances that you have where something, you know, dangerous is going to happen, or where you're going to have a huge problem. Things like drop tanks and stoves and refrigerators and, you know, complex electrical systems cost a lot of money to fix, and they're hard to fix on your own. The systems have to be very robust, and most of these RVs, that is not the case. They don't have robust systems. They have the minimum, but they look real good. So after being in the desert for 6 months, guess what? You're going to have a lot of dust. After running on all the dirt roads and the rough roads, things are going to start breaking. If you don't have those systems, or if you have systems designed for that, then it's a lot easier, and you don't have the freakouts. So it's always a calculation of, well, what am I going to do? What do I need? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And getting it done. But the thing I learned again was how important it is not to freak out, or to freak out and then go, okay, I freaked out for 30 seconds. Now what do I have to do? As soon as I said, okay, this is what I have to do, suddenly the heartbeat went down, the shaking hands went down, the worry about, oh my God, this is going to cost me thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, all of that dissipated, because I was able to start working on a solution. So that's really the lesson from the whole experience. And I got to go to the junkyard. I got to, you know, see what people, other people do, how they do their work, what they do. And I got to meet some great people and have a sublime experience. No, I am not camped out on the beach at Padre Island, camping and having my dinner and watching the seashore. I'll probably be able to do that tonight or tomorrow. But I had an equally sublime experience just being here and helping these guys and, you know, working through the problem and learning as I watch and talk to them, how you detect this or how you detect that, by being present and by participating. So thanks to the guys at Auto Works here in Corpus Christi, right there, just around West Point Boulevard. And I want to thank Zach Zander, who also helped out Zander Automotive. He is building a business, and if you guys ever have issues and you happen to be in Corpus Christi and you're going through that area, these guys will help. Steve at AutoWorks and also Zach at Zander Automotive. Quick shout out to my guys at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station in South Minneapolis. I have sung the praises often of independent refueling stations because they always have a better deal on fuel, so I don't need to go into that. Don't forget their locally sourced food in the store, which is really the secret sauce at 36 Lynn, 36th Street South and Lindale Avenue South in South Minneapolis, Lynn Lake, 36 Lynn. And thank you guys for sponsoring the Pod Davis Podcasts. So it is on from here to Padre Island once the new alternator is in. Fingers crossed that it actually works, because I'm sure they want to be rid of me as well. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1131. What to do when you get a mechanical on the road and you're looking from you know, the position of a serendipitous experience. You never know what a sublime experience is actually going to be on the road. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 931.